Those things which proceed out of the mouth came from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with an unwashed hand does not defile a man. Jesus is trying to draw the distinction between how nice we can make the outside look and ignoring totally what's happening on the inside. It's the inside stuff that really, really matters. It's what's going to make the difference there in those attitudes. And your attitude speaks louder than your words. It is screaming, this is who I really am. This is who I really am. And we can excuse that and we can back up and say, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have spouted off. I shouldn't have blown my cool. All of those things. Well, it's a lot more than just being angry sometimes. It's your attitude that comes to the surface. And listen, when I'm negative, when I'm nasty, when I'm critical, it's the real me. And when you're nasty and you're critical and you're judgmental, it's the real you. So let's quit dodging that bullet and accept the fact that our attitude reveals who we really are. Listen, we don't just have a bad attitude because we have a bad day. All a bad day does is shake your jar. That's all it does. But then that bad attitude comes out, you know why? Because it's deep in there. That's what it is. I know we're not, like, I'm not getting any hand claps on this. I understand why. But that's the whole truth of the matter. Number two is this. Your attitude determines the success and the failure of your relationships. You know, you can have a bad attitude and still be a great worker. I mean, you could take somebody who's just not a real good, friendly person, have a horrible attitude, put them in a closet to where they can just spit out information or just work on a computer. And, you know, they can work circles around some other people. But it's your relationships that where it shows up more than anything else. And it will determine the success or the failure of your relationship. Every relationship, casual relationships, deep, intimate relationships like a marriage, good friendships. I mean, people that have been together forever as friends, as spouses. That attitude creeps up, and the next thing you know, they start separating. Your attitude sometimes makes it difficult for people to be around. You've ever noticed that? I mean, sometimes people just don't want to be a hang around you because your attitude is just so irritating. And if you were only like me, everybody would love you, and they would just flock to be with you, which is why I'm crowded, surrounded by so many people right now. Obviously, it's very, very important for us to understand that that's exactly what happens. I'm going to tell you what, a bad attitude always produces something. Feelings, actions, thoughts, words, you name it. And that's why we have to pay attention to it. Listen, I've seen and you have seen bad attitudes separate marriages, take good friends and split them apart, working situations become very, very uncomfortable, churches split because of attitudes. And there's a reason for that, and we just need to recognize that and understand God doesn't want it to be that way. And whenever you have a bad attitude, I promise you, trouble's down the road. Something's coming, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be pleasant, and God doesn't want you to go that route. So we need to head this thing off because we don't want negative things happening in our life, and especially if we have induced and encouraged a bad attitude. Therefore, we've kind of planned that event, haven't we? Well, I didn't think you'd agree with me on that one anyway. Number three, your attitude is your choice. It is your choice. It's your choice. It's my choice. I get to choose whether I have this thing or not. A lot of us don't think that we have a choice, but we do. We get to choose the attitude that we adopt, that we embrace, that we make a part of our lives. We get to choose whether it's going to be there forever or whether it's going to be eliminated. You know, those of you who remember that glass half full, half empty debate, remember that? Really, you know, somebody would say, give a glass half full, and they say, is this thing half full or half empty? And, you know, you may want to think of that whether it's negative or positive, but really it's just a perception, right? But it's also a choice. I mean, I can see both sides of this thing. It's not that I only see it from one side and I'm blinded to the other. I see, but I get to choose how I perceive that. There are two men in prison, and they're looking through the bars. All one sees is just barbed wire and mud. The other sees the stars and the moon. They're in the same prison cell. They're looking through the same window. They're looking through the same bars. They see the same scene. But one chooses to look up and see the beauty of the stars and the moon, and the other chooses to look in his circumstances and just see nothing but the confinement, barbed wire, mud, and his very, very dreary existence. And that's a sad situation for anybody to be in, and we do not want to get there. Listen, God has given us a lot of abilities. He's given us the ability to think, He's given us the ability to reason, and He's given us the ability to choose. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't choose where I went to school. I chose to get up because my dad would be in soon after that to encourage me to get up. That was not the kind of choosing that we're talking about here today. We're talking about you have the right, you have the ability, you have the freedom. There's no one hanging over you in a sense of authority saying you choose this or you choose that, or else here's the consequences, although we know the consequences are always a part of that. But we can focus on the positive things or we can focus on the negative things. We can focus on what is true or we can focus on what is false. It's up to us. And we need to start choosing in that manner. The most saddest thing, I think, is somebody sees somebody drifting through life, and life is constantly telling them how they feel and constantly telling them what they ought to do, and they never get to the point where they go, you know what, I chose to be here. And if they didn't choose to where they were going to be there, maybe physically or financially, they still get to choose how they feel about it. But they've relinquished that choice to the circumstances, and that's not a good place to be. We have given the power of choice away. And it's the one thing you can't take from us, but we give it away. Debbie and I know a guy named Michael Obar. Well, he's passed away years ago. Michael Obar was this gift to Huffman Assembly of God Youth Group. He was this guy when he was 6 years old. He had a congenital heart defect. They operated on him. He has a scar that goes from here all the way around to this back. He died for about a little over 6 minutes on the table. They brought him back. And it was a kind of a sad situation because Michael had some physical impairments that looked very, very associated with mental retardation. But he was as keen as he could be. Hold a conversation, but his language was slurred and everything else. And he was always saying this. He said, I'm just broadening my horizons. And if you didn't know Michael Barr, you would think, here's this guy, very, very deficient, probably doesn't have the IQ of a third grader, and he's got this little saying that he says, but that wasn't the case at all. He was one of the most cheerful guys you ever seen. He was always positive. Everybody loved Mike Obar. I mentioned my wife. Well, she's a nurse practitioner in cancer, and she works on an awful lot of cancer patients. And I've heard her say more than once that, you know what, I don't know of anybody that has more perspective in life than a cancer victim. And you know what? I don't know if it was her that said this, but I can remember somebody saying, you know what, you can see the ones who want to fight. You can see the ones that are going to make it. You see the ones that are going to battle because they've got a choice to make. They can just say, you know, I'm dead, I'm giving up. Or they can say, I'm going to fight through this. I'm going to be everything that I can be, regardless of the circumstances. Listen, maybe today you're feeling pretty broken. Maybe your world is broken. Maybe everything's going the wrong direction. Maybe everything's sliding downhill. Maybe everything's just falling out from underneath you. You still have an opportunity to choose. Please do not let this world, do not let Satan, do not let your circumstances, do not let anybody take that choice from you. And we understand, you don't have to slap a smile on your face that's fake. You don't have to be a phony. But you know what? Your heart doesn't know the difference. Your face may. But you get to choose deep down inside exactly how you feel. And this isn't separated from God in just some good positive motivation speak. This is just all about the Word of God. This is what God says. He says, you know what? He wants us to have that. Well, listen, I know a lot of people that will blame their attitudes on people. They'll blame it on circumstances. But if you're one of those people, I don't mind telling you, that's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. I understand sometimes it's not a trickle, it's a flood. I understand sometimes, you know what, you can't catch your breath, something else is going. You know, and it's just amazing how these things happen. But if you adopt that and you allow that to regulate your life, you know what, you're not hurting others, you're hurting yourself. You're the one that's going to be the loser. You're the one that's going to be hurt by all of that. So listen, let me give you four things about this wonderful attitude and what we can do about it, okay? Number one, you know what? Say positive things. Say positive things. I didn't say think positive things. I didn't dream up positive things. I'm talking about say them. Let those words roll off of your lips. It's a very, very cool thing. It's something that God wants you to do. You need to learn to speak those positive words. And notice I said the word learn. Because some people have to learn how to do that. It's more than just the words are there. You know what the words are. You don't have a whole, it's not a problem that you have this very deficient vocabulary. It's just that you have to learn to let those words roll off of your lips. I know it doesn't come natural. I know it's easier to be negative and criticize. But come on, dig deep, find those things and bring them to the surface. Because they reveal who you really are. But they also reveal who you really, really want to be. You know, you can reverse this thing. If it was done, there's no way you could do it. You were born this way. If it was just an incurable, thought process, then so be it. But that's not true. This thing can change. You can create the atmosphere in which you live by the words you speak. And I want you to watch this. Hi, Linda Holland. How are you today? She says that all the time. You know she's lying. She just throws this phony smile on her face and just throws her head back. She says, I'm blessed. How are you? What a phony. Oh, come on. Nobody really believes that. You're fooling nobody. And now, if I push this any further, you're going to get angry, and you should, because I've overstated the obvious. You know what? I guarantee I don't know Linda's life completely, but I know one thing. She probably got a lot of reasons to be negative if she wants to. She could complain over the fact that Tom isn't sitting right beside her. And I'm sorry, I hope I didn't step on a wound. And I don't think I did. She could decide an awful lot of things, but she decides to say, I'm blessed. You know what? Those are words that she probably have rehearsed so long that it comes out. And you know why it comes out so easily? Because it's the truth. It's been the truth so long, it's never not been the truth. How cool is that? You realize we could all do that. We can do that with the way we greet our spouses in the morning. And instead of looking at that hair all over the place and that dragon breath just looking right at you, that is, if you're still in the same bedroom and, you know, and all of this stuff, you know, you can choose how you say those things. You can greet your children as they come waltzing into the kitchen singing your praises. And you can say wonderful things about them, you know. You go to work and you walk into the office, everybody says, hi, how are you? You just go, zippity-doo-dah. I do not know why I did that. Now I'm embarrassed. That's just ridiculous. But we get to choose that. And why? It's not that hard. But it's something we have to choose before we get there. That's our biggest problem. The circumstance already is unfolded. The obvious is there. The environment's been set. And now we're wanting to choose? I think it's a little too late for that. We need to get busy with that. You know, the job of a Christian is to eliminate hurtful things, negative words. That's our job. And we need to do that. We're supposed to be light in this world instead of another layer of darkness. We're supposed to go out there and make a difference in people's lives. We need to replace these positive words with words that build up, edify, encourage people. And you know what? The more you do it to them, guess what? God says, I saw that. I will encourage you. And sometimes God is the only one encouraging you. So what? I mean, who do you want ahead of God encouraging you? We get this thing totally out of perspective sometimes. We want somebody to come up, put their arm around us and tell us how great we are. We want them to pat us on the back. You know, and God's just there going, hey, I kind of got your whole life in charge here. I'm in charge of your eternity. I love you. But we're not listening because we're looking for it in another direction. Positive words create. Negative words destroy. We know that, don't we? From experience. The second thing is this. You need to look for the good. Look for the good, because if you look for it, you'll find it. It is there if you'll just look for it. A positive person is not one who refuses to recognize the negative. It's someone who refuses to dwell on the negative. I mean, listen, this isn't we're going to just close our eyes, we're just going to put blinders on, we're just going to close our ears and say, I don't want to hear anything unless it's just wonderful and gracious and uplifting. No, bad things happen. I just had a pretty rough week. And it just wasn't really cool. My best friend all the way to Alabama was a towel rolled up right here behind my little friend that I got rid of over the weekend. Right there. And that was just a whole lot of fun. So, you know, it's all the stuff that just doesn't get it. But you know what? Here's the thing we got to understand. We got to look for the good in all these things. Look for the best in even the worst circumstances. Because if you look for it, if you seek for it, you will find it. So listen, people find what they're looking for. So what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And I'm not talking about just your eyes, obviously. But as you listen, as you go through life, as you interact with other people, what are you looking for? Today, some of you are going to go to a restaurant, and you're going to have the worst waiter or the waitress in the world. Oh, my gosh, you're going to send them back to the third grade because that's how they're acting. Whatever, okay? But can you look past a little bit of that and find something good? And why don't you get ahead of it a little bit and compliment them and edify them and encourage them before they even start spilling whatever's going on in their life, much less the food, on you? It's not that hard to do. It's just you got to plan a little bit because you want to look for it. Numbers the 13th chapter is this wonderful story where God said, hey, you know what, Moses? Send these spies over there. Tell them to get a report of the land. And when they come back, you know, share it with the people. You remember the spies, 12 spies, 10 of them said, you know, it's awesome, big, wonderful, everything, but they have these giants. We'll never do it. We're going to be defeated. We'll be squished. And then two guys, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah, they're true. It's all of what they said, but it's also flowing with milk and honey. There's this incredible opportunity. God is saying, God, we need to do this. You know what? They chose to see the good in it and not just the bad. They acknowledged that they were huge. They acknowledged it was going to be difficult. They acknowledged it's going to be a big, big task. They weren't blinded, but they said, you know what? We can do this. It's a matter of focus. It's a matter of what you laser beam focus on and just get starting to study and make sure that it just rises to the surface and preoccupies your time and your thoughts. And you know, next thing you know, people are going to want to be hanging around you because you are encouraging. You are edifying. You are somebody that they love to be around. You will be a magnet to those people. Listen, in your marriage, if you're always looking for the faults, you are going to find fault. And that's what the core of your marriage will be. But it's never too late. I don't care if you've been married 5 minutes, 5 years, or five decades. Get busy looking for the good stuff. If you want this thing to work out, it'll happen. Number three, you need to control your thoughts. Control your thoughts. You see, it's what we feed this thing that always comes out. I'm going to give you three F's of controlling your thought life real quick. This is kind of a little bit on a little agenda to what we did 2 weeks ago called the Battle of the Mind. Remember that? So let's go there real quick. The first one is the word fix. You need to fix. Now, this is a little trick on words, but when you get into the Living Bible, this is what it says in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely. Dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. We need to continue to take command over the things that we are thinking and the things that we're dwelling on and our thoughts and the things that go into our mind and fix our minds on those things. And your thoughts will help you create this inner being that when your jar is shaken, out comes it wonderful things like blessing and honor and gentleness and encouragement and edification. Number two, we need to filter. Would you eat garbage? Of course you wouldn't. Nobody in this place would eat garbage. So you know what we got to do? Not only do we have to start thinking about the way we think and control our minds, but we got to filter out some stuff. Listen, there's some things that we're watching. There's some things that we're doing. There's some relationships we have or conversations we have, things that are we're letting them get in our gut and in our hearts, but even more so in our spirit. And we're getting bitter and we're getting angry and we're envious and we're mad and all of these other things. And it's because, you know what, we have allowed these things to get in and we've not filtered them out. You know what, when was the last time the thought came into your head or circumstance came and you literally said, no, I am not going to let that dictate my thinking. I am not going to permit that to be a part of my being. The third thing is this. We got to feed our thoughts. We got to feed our lives. Listen, what are you feeding your mind? The things that, you know, we filter out the bad, but then, you know, there's just a void there. You know, you've seen people several times, you know what? They get saved and they say, oh, God, forgive me my sins. So there's this vacancy. Jesus even talked about it. A guy that said, you know what, a demon was driven out of the house, so to speak. And he says, you know what, because he didn't feel that with anything else, that demon came back with seven others and occupied the home. And there's the thing, that we make this vacancy because we want to get rid of this stuff through forgiveness and the blood of Jesus, but we never fill it with anything. Same thing goes on with our mind. We need to start feeding it the things that we do. It matters what we feed our body, doesn't it? Well, it also matters what we feed our minds. I mean, I'm always looking forward to feeding my body. Hey, guys, it's 10 till 12. Are you already thinking about what you're going to feed your body? Don't lie to me. Yes, you are. And I have no problem with that. So as you chew on your gum, wishing that it was something else, hang in there, we're almost done. You remember that statement, G-O, G-N-G-O, garbage in, garbage out? Whatever you feed this mind, it's somehow going to just take root. It's going to sit in there. It's going to store in there. And with just enough shaking, if the right shake gets in there, it's going to come out. Have some of you just cussed and you're going, I can't believe I did that. Whether you hit the hammer on your, you know, the thumb of your hammer or whatever, you know, any of that stuff, and you're going, I can't believe I said that. And your children over there going, they didn't even know you knew that word. And it just came out of there. You know, it's amazing how this thing goes. And as much as we think it's amusing, there's something deep down in there that is just laying in wait to come out. So you know what? We have to filter that stuff out, and we got to feed in good. Let's go to the last thing. Number four, never surrender your leadership to negative thinking. Always to the positive thinking. And listen, I want you to understand that when we get in church, we start talking about negative versus positive. It doesn't sound real godly, but it's very, very consistent with the Word of God. So don't let it, because it's being negative versus positive, not be eliminated, as this is actually flesh versus spirit at the same time. But here's the thing. A lot of times, when you experience something negatively, how do you handle it? How do you deal with that thing? Well, there's a whole lot of ways that we can deal with it. And listen, we should admit that things are going bad if things are going bad. We should face it. We should confront it. I understand that. But we should not ignore it. We should not deny it. Nor should we put up with it. What we should do is replace it. You see, a lot of times, if something bad happens, somebody says something bad to you, and boy, that negative, bad attitude's wanting to just start churning up. You got all the motivation in the world. Now you got fuel for the fire. You're ready to do something about it. You know, there's all this encouragement. And what you got to do right now is that thing is very prevalent, and you have to replace it. You have to take it off the shelf, throw it away, and put something else in its place. Let me show you how this works. You can replace anger with love. Anger with love. You can replace fear with faith. You can replace complaining with gratitude. How about a few more? You can replace bitterness with forgiveness. You can replace judgment with acceptance. You can replace feeling sorry for yourself with helping somebody else. See, the whole mind, it just starts changing immediately just with those thoughts. And those are just simple thoughts. How do you live victorious over negative emotions? Because we all have them. This is so simple that it's just not going to make a big dent on anybody, but here's what you do. You simply pray. Now, I'm not talking about just go and pray. I'm talking about you pray about that. Let me take you to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15, in conclusion. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is touched by the feelings of our weaknesses. You know, a lot of us have an awful confidence in things that we have. Some of us in authority have used that authority to get what we want and to get our way. And, you know, there's a lot of things. Some of us, you know, are under authority. We've learned how to manipulate authority to get what we want. There's all kinds of schemes and stuff. But you know what? What we're talking about here is feeling inept, feeling unqualified, feeling disqualified, feeling like I'm so weak and that I'm just constantly getting pounded by these things and I have a bad attitude and I end up doing wrong things and blah, blah, blah. And you see the escalation of this process. And what you need to understand is there's this person named Jesus Christ that we talk about every Sunday, and he is our high priest, and he understands the feelings of your weakness. And if you will appeal to him today, you can turn that bad attitude into no attitude. And what I mean, we're going to get rid of it. I don't believe in turning bad attitudes into good attitudes, because then it still has the basis there, the foundation. No, this is about totally replacing it. This is not improving a little bit. This is not trying to say a couple of good words, even though I know I'm still going to hold on to these angry, bitter feelings. No, we're going to get rid of those, give those to Jesus, ask him to forgive me, forgive them, and to replace those by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, with a new heart and a new spirit, so that I can be who God wants me to be. Let me tell you something. Regardless of the negative connotation and implication, your bad attitude has on somebody else. Jesus wants you to be free from your bad attitude more than he wants others to be free of your bad attitude. Have you thought about that? Hey, listen, you know, others know how to handle you. They'll go around you. They'll ignore you. They won't return your calls. They know how to eliminate you, but you don't know how to eliminate you. But God knows what he wants to do in your heart. Okay, I'm going to get just a little deep, a little under the surface just for a second. Some of you, your bad attitude is because of something that's happened to you. And you've created this bad attitude to protect yourself. You've created this outer crust so that it can be this thing that keeps you from having to love But guess what it also does? It prevents people from loving you. And you know who else it keeps out? It keeps God out. This crusty outer laying that you have created that says something like, I don't care what they think. I don't give a rip. I'm my own man. Whatever. You know what? It holds God as bay. And you think you formed it just so that you'll be protected. No. Not at all. Because you can't escape yourself, but Jesus can. John and Jen, please come to the platform. I ask the rest of you to please stand just for a second. I'll be honest with you. In thinking about this, I said, God, I just don't think this is one of those sermons that we can end it saying, okay, will you please bring your bad attitude to the altar? I mean, who wants to sign up for that? Hi, I walked to the altar. Oh, I wonder what their problem is. We see, we created a circumstance to where you can't be successful. But right there where you are, God already knows your heart. He knows the things that you have contemplated, that you've thought about, the things that I reminded you of just as we spoke. And can I just tell you, in the next few moments, God wants to give you such release. And it doesn't have to be because you shook the preacher's hand or you had me pray a prayer for you. It's because of what you want to do in your heart right now. We're back to one very, very important issue. It's choice. You have to choose. If I could just put this in I wish I could put this in a physical circumstance, but I can't. But I literally, if I had the power and the ability to walk up to you and just shake your hand, look you square in the face, call your name and say, I want you to be released from this agonizing, unpleasant, this undesirable attitude, I still can't because you have to make that decision. But I don't have that power. But Jesus does. So bow your heads with me, Isaac. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, at the end of my prayer, we're going to sing this song. And as we are thinking in our hearts, and as we sing this song before we're dismissed today, I pray that you will come down and you will open the prison doors. I pray that you will take this attitude, regardless of how justified, regardless of how reasonable, doesn't matter how many people are standing there in support of how I feel. I've been wrong. I've been hurt. I've worked hard at this, and I deserve this feeling. God, can I really look into your face and say, God, you want me to feel this way, don't you? I mean, this is the feeling, this is the attitude you want me to hold on to, right? Father, most of the time, the answer would be no. What I want you to do is let the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ, who's forgiven your sin, also come in and heal those hurts and those wounds so that you can have the privilege, the honor, and you will experience the favor of God on your life. So you will be released and so that you will start springing out of your mouth, springing out of your life, literally glowing from your face. You will begin to lift other people up. You'll begin to edify them. You'll be an encourager. People will love you. And it's not because you manipulated them, you didn't pay them, you just simply became an example of Jesus Christ. Father, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We do so that we might have a private audience with you. And as this song is sung, and to those of us who will join with it, I pray that you will release us from any type of attitude that is not pleasing to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.